When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." The third word of Jesus from the cross is his last will and testament, his legacy to his earthly family. Is it not appropriate that at that particular time, as our session in this church looks forward to our all-day retreat, when we will talk about the shepherding ministry, the spiritual needs of our church family, that we should consider the third word of Jesus from the cross? Jesus' third word reflects on his personal family, but it also reflects upon his church family. Indeed, other Christian groups, and we are right when we call each other Brother Jones or Sister Smith, for we are a family. You remember the scene of the crucifixion that we have already sketched. Here, the writer of John, who is John himself, introduces a new aspect into the crucifixion scene. You see, in contrast to the soldiers, in contrast to the hostile crowd and the jeering of one of the thieves crucified next to him, there is a small band of faithful women standing at the foot of the cross. There is Mary, the mother of Jesus, Salome, who was the mother of John, Mary's sister. There was Mary, the wife of Cleopas. And then there was Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons. These women were standing before the cross. Is it not interesting to note that among those servants of Christ, the disciples who had traveled with their Lord for 3 years and who had been instructed into the way of truth and faithfulness, that only one was at the crucifixion? And yet here is this band of faithful, weeping women. The Apostle John refers to himself in verse 26 as the disciple whom Jesus loved. What a healthy view John must have had of himself. In a day when you and I hear so much about self-image and self-esteem, isn't it refreshing to read something like this? Indeed, Christian, you can say with all the confidence of the disciple John that you are loved by Jesus Christ. What a revolutionary thought. If you want a good self-image, if you want to raise your self-esteem, then believe this and accept that unconditional love of Jesus Christ for you. So John calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Let's consider first the word of Jesus to his mother. He said to her, "Woman, behold your son." First, these words show how Jesus regarded the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is, "Honor thy father and thy mother." You see, Mary's heart had been broken. And as Jesus is hanging upon the cross, he finally catches Mary's eye, and he says these words to her. Simeon, who had waited and was there at the dedication of Jesus, had told Mary in prophecy at that time that a sword shall pierce your own soul. And here was fulfilled that very piercing of her soul. Imagine her thoughts. Imagine her pain. Imagine her agony as she sees her own son crucified. Tradition has it that Joseph had died before the ministry of Jesus had ever started. And so Jesus was left to care for his mother. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." You see, provision is not just provision for one's spirit physically, though materially. How often I have talked to wives who have confessed to me that they have everything that they could possibly desire from their husbands except the very thing that they want most. And that is to be loved and to have their own spiritual relationship developed with him. Jesus provides for his mother, though. He not only provided for her spiritually, he provided for her in the physical realm. He turns her over to John to be introduced into this new family. Right away, we can draw this conclusion. That is that we are to honor our parents. We sometimes neglect that aspect as we get older. We are to honor them, and we are to provide for our own household. But these words also, secondly, depict Christ's human nature. You see, this demonstrates that Jesus was indeed a man. He was the God-man, the Theoanthropos. He was 100% God, 100% man, but he was a man. These words reflect upon that. Why was it necessary for God to become a man? Because, you see, in the Garden of Eden, it was man who had sinned against God. So in order for man to be saved, man must obey perfectly the law of God. But these words also indicate Jesus' relationship to Mary. He says, "Woman, behold thy son." Why did he say this to her? Was it to protect her from the hostile soldiers? Was it for some other reason? Was it for the purpose of defining a new relationship between Jesus and his mother? When Jesus had gone to the temple and his family had left, Jesus didn't go with them, and they had to come back to find Jesus there discussing with the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. He was rebuked, and Jesus said to his mother, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And then at Cana of Galilee, the first miracle that was performed, Jesus said in response to a question of his mother, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And then once in Mark 3:31, when a crowd had gathered about Jesus and they were pressing him, someone came to him and said, "Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside." Jesus said to them, "These are my mothers and my brothers." And then here at the cross, he says to his mother, "Woman, woman." It is as if to say, Mary, a new day is dawning in my relationship with you. Jesus is about to complete his earthly work. He is not only now the Savior of the world, but he is also his mother's Savior, Mary's Savior. He provided for her spiritually. We ought to provide for our own. How many unsaved relatives do you and I have? Those whom we have never really talked with concerning their own faith in Jesus Christ. You may not be able to do it very well, but that's not the important thing. At least, friend, be a witness to your husband, your wife, your parents, your children. I know in the early stages of my own Christian experience, after I was converted, I didn't know beans about Christianity. All I knew was I was a sinner and I had been saved. And so I naturally asked everybody if they had the same experience. I thought they would line up just to find out and discover this great new peace that I had discovered. It wasn't like that. I talked to my relatives, to my mother. I once approached it from a very unbiblical way, but I want to tell you, friend, that out of that, God used a witness to bring her to a sound commitment to Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you that if you are a Christian here today and you have relatives who are not Christians, will you do something? If it is only at this point to pray for them diligently and bringing them in, providing for them this spiritual legacy of Jesus. But Jesus also had a word to John. He said to John, "Behold your mother." One must wonder why Jesus chose the Apostle John. His devotion was obvious to Christ, and yet we ought to respect the silences of Scripture. For the Bible doesn't tell us why. Perhaps it was only because John happened to be there. But the point is that he took care of Jesus' mother. Here is the foundation. Here is the basis for care among members in God's flock. I mean that we ought to be treating one another as the same family. Where there are physical needs, where there are emotional needs, where there are spiritual needs. We as a family of Christ should be ministering to one another in that way. But let's ask how we ought to apply this incident. And I believe it's in this way. Just as Jesus, by his death, provided a home for his earthly family, he also, by his death, provided a spiritual home for his church family. Jesus died for you. We read in John 14:2, where Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a room for you." I wonder if you can say that you have entered into a personal fellowship with Jesus Christ this morning. Christ has created a new society. He has created a new fellowship of people, and it is those people who will enter into that spiritual mansion room. Will you? Can you say with certainty, yes, I will? I wonder if I'm speaking to some this morning who have strained relationships in their families. I want to encourage you to heed Jesus' example to provide for your family. Husbands, that you provide for your wives, not just materially, which is in the consideration of things only second best at most, but that you provide spiritually as the head of your home? Am I speaking to some wife, some mother who needs to provide spiritually for her family, for her children? Am I speaking to some parents? Am I speaking to some children who can bear a testimony to their parents or grandparents? Heed the example of Jesus from the cross. As He provided for His family, so will you provide for your family. I wonder too if I'm speaking though to some Christian. Some Christian who is suffering a special problem or trouble or trial or adversity at this time. Remember that Jesus has provided a spiritual home for you. It will not always be this way. You can make it through. You will one day receive the ultimate in joy if you continue faithful with Him. But I wonder, too, if there are some non-Christians here this morning. Jesus has provided a home for you, unbeliever. If you will come to faith in Jesus Christ now, if you will acknowledge Him and His sacrifice for you upon Calvary's cross, do you know Him? Have you entered into that fellowship? It is a very simple step of faith for you to take. You can pray the sinner's prayer, and it is simply this: Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge my sin. I confess that I am unworthy of You. Thank You for dying for me upon the cross. Come in to my life. If you're not a Christian this morning, will you pray that prayer? As we bow our hearts now, and I pray, will you pray? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sin. I know that I am unworthy of You. I confess to You that I have done those things that are displeasing to You. But I thank You for dying for me upon the cross. And I now invite You into my life. Come in.